Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, brought to you today by Simply Safe Home Security. Protect your home the smart way without the expensive long-term contracts using Simply Safe. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. Go right now, and you'll also get free shipping on your order and a free keychain remote worth $25. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. That's SimpliSafe.com/ricochet to get started. We have bad, and crazy martinis for you today. Jim, we were talking yesterday about, you know, the FBI did a great job of zeroing in on who the suspects might be. Obviously, surveillance footage, cameras out on the streets helped to pinpoint who seems to be responsible here. Looked as of 24 hours ago that there really were no warning signs. This guy wasn't on the radar. But as time has gone on, there's a few more red flags. We're not talking about anything as glaringly obvious as Mateen down in Orlando or even the San Bernardino killer. But there were some things that perhaps people should have paid attention to. A number of people came forward yesterday talking about, man, that guy really changed over the last few years. One of whom was his apparent high school sweetheart, who is also the mother of Rahani's daughter. And she spoke with FoxNews.com. Here's Fox News anchor Martha McCallum giving the brief summary of what this ex had to say.
This new information comes from the terror suspect's former girlfriend. She has called him a deadbeat dad. She paints a very dark picture of this individual. She says he's a man who hates gays, the military, and American culture in general, pretty much. The cover of today's New York Post with these three words, he hates America.
Shep Smith on Fox yesterday found another friend of Rahani's who said he changed a lot after some of those recent trips to Afghanistan. So, Jim, it's amazing how many people are really eager to talk to the media after the fact, but apparently they lose the cop's phone number when it matters.
You know, I'm going to make two observations or two theories here. One is that these folks either see things differently in the light of knowing that the person they knew ended up going on this crazy killing spree. All of a sudden, little bits of odd behavior suddenly seem not so innocent, and they're seen in a different light. Alternatively, people may remember, you know, we all know that memories are not perfect. Eyewitness testimony is not perfect. People can remember things that did not happen. Maybe if, you know, they just kind of decide right off the bat, oh, wait, in retrospect, I do remember him seeming like a ticking time bomb. Yeah. Without realizing how dumb this makes them sound. Utterly unhelpful to the rest of their fellow citizens, because if you genuinely think somebody is a ticking time bomb, ideally, you'd do something about it. You wouldn't just say, oh, you know, this is this unfortunate set of circumstances. Ahmed over there really seems like he's been yelling about how he wants to kill everyone, but we're not going to do anything about that. Although now that I think about it, Greg, wouldn't this kind of make people a little wary about Ed Schultz? Did say he was going to burn the building down one day. So anyway, if there's any suspicious arsons at NBC News, you know where to go.
On to the second bad martini now. And Jim, I've got multiple bad gut feelings about this story. This is courtesy of Politico, and here is the problem. Former President George H.W. Bush is bucking his party's presidential nominee and plans to vote for Hillary Clinton in November, according to a member of another famous political family, the Kennedys. Bush, 92, had intended to stay silent on the White House race between Clinton and Donald Trump, a sign in and of itself of his distaste for the GOP nominee. But his preference for the wife of his own successor, President Bill Clinton, nonetheless became known to a wider audience thanks to Kathleen Hartington Kennedy Townsend, the former Maryland lieutenant governor and daughter of the late Robert F. Kennedy. On Monday, Townsend posted a picture on her Facebook page shaking hands next to the former president and this caption, "The president told me he's voting for Hillary." In a telephone interview, she said she met with the former president in Maine earlier today, where she said he made his preference known that he was voting for a Democrat. "That's what he said," she told Politico. Asked about Townsend's post, George H.W. Bush spokesman Jim McGrath in an email replied, quote, "The vote President Bush will cast as a private citizen in some 50 days will be just that, a private vote cast in some 50 days. He is not commenting on the presidential race in the interim," unquote. Jim, so part of me is thoroughly disgusted with Kathleen Kennedy Townsend by betraying what she should have figured was a private conversation, since Bush hasn't made his thoughts public, and assuming that that is exactly what he told her. Obviously disappointed in the former president's decision, knowing that we do have two dumpster fire choices this year. So what do you make of all this?
I'm going to choose to answer this question, Greg, in the form of Dana Carvey. Greg, Kathleen Kennedy Townsend is a pain in the tuchus. Can't stand her. Don't know why the staff brought her over. Didn't want to talk to her. So she asks, who are you going to vote for? Can't tell her who. Shouldn't have told her who. Was not prudent. that's what I'm going to hope to believe. Because let's assume for now that the story is true. That George H.W. Bush sees Trump as abominable, utterly unacceptable, and can't vote for the Republican nominee. I'd like to think there are a lot of Republicans who can understand why certain folks would find Trump unacceptable. The problem is that in a field that's got Gary Johnson, what's Aleppo, that's got Evan McMullen, that's got all kinds, you have write-in options. There are all kinds of other things you can do to look at this field and say, yes, I want Hillary Clinton in there. That's going to be a bridge too far for a lot of Republicans. And it kind of validates the argument of folks like Ace of Spades and other Trump supporters who say, look, this is a binary choice. You don't get a third option. If you vote for a third option, you're effectively voting for Hillary. And I and lots of other folks would say, no. If I vote for Gary Johnson, I'm voting for Gary Johnson. If I vote for Evan McMullen, I'm voting for Evan McMullen. For George H.W. Bush to turn around and say that Clinton is the best choice, really, will a lot of Republicans will take it as a betrayal, and a lot of people will irk. And every nasty stereotype about the Bush family, that they're a dynasty, that they're into this for themselves, that they are way too close to the Clintons, that they very much see themselves as part of the ruling class. Look, a rumor like this is going to validate that a great deal. The second thing, Greg, is if you're George H.W. Bush and Kathleen Kennedy Townsend asks you who you vote for, the right answer is none of your business. Greg, George H.W. Bush trusted Democrats back in the budget deal of 1990.
Yes, he did.
And he's still trusting Democrats today, and he's still paying the price. it's a bad habit that he never shook. He's a great man, war hero, underrated president. I think very highly of him, but this is a blind spot that's going to, it looks like it's going to come back to bite him again. And then here's the thing, like, I don't know how George H.W. Bush is going to vote, but based on this and the fact that he didn't deny it, that certainly seemed to validate it. My attitude is, if you really believe Hillary Clinton is the best choice, an argument that I find really hard to swallow, then you probably should come out and say so. If you really don't think that is, if he's not voting for Hillary Clinton, he should come out and deny it. I don't think this vague, sort of, kind of modified limited hangout out there is a good stance. I think it's been pretty clear that there are several Republican figures, other members of the Bush family, and Mitt Romney who will not be voting for Trump, and that's fine. I think it would be good if they came out and said who they're voting for. And that's not just because I think I don't know if it'll even move many votes. I just think that it's pretty good to have everybody on record at a time like this. So I think this will leave a lot more bad blood in the GOP. And I think the Bush family, if George P. or any other members of the Bush family want to run for higher office again, I think this will get thrown back at them at some future date.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a black eye for the Bush family. It's hard to imagine that this news is going to sway a lot of people one way or the other on this issue. And I think George P. is actually reluctantly on board with Trump, probably for his own electoral ambitions down the line. And he's really the only Bush out there who's probably likely to run for anything again. So he's probably going to pay the heaviest electoral price for this.
He had made vaguely pro-Trump comments at one point, I think. I'm not kidding. George P. Bush had said something like, we're Republicans and we all have to do our part to help the party or something like that, which was not an explicit endorsement of Trump, but it was something sufficiently like, all right, everybody, let's all start rowing in the same direction, which may have been about as far as he can go. Now, again, if the guy really ripped into your dad, I wouldn't be eager to vote for the guy either. But it just kind of is indicating that, it would seem a perfect irony if the person who suffered the most for George H.W. Bush's vote would be George P. Bush.
I think your point about trusting Democrats is the big takeaway from this one, unfortunately. Jim, not necessarily a safe choice for the Bush family, but here's what can be safe for you. Simply Safe. Thousands of people are seeking home security, but they get ripped off every day. You get locked in on long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks with no way out. It's essentially robbery, and it can cost you thousands. So go to simplysafe.com/ricochet. And there's a lot of reasons why this should be your home security system. First of all, SimpliSafe offers superior protection. It's got 24/7 professional monitoring and police dispatch.
Also, no annual contracts. Traditional alarm companies lock customers into three-year contracts with nasty auto-renewal clauses and pages upon pages of fine print.
And it's cheaper, monitoring for less than half the cost of those traditional alarm companies. And as we said, 24/7 professional monitoring. It starts at just $14.99 a month. That's way less than most of those other companies. SimpliSafe does not charge any activation, installation, or hidden fees either.
For those of you saying, wait a minute, I only have a cell phone. Will this work for me? Yes, you do not have to pay for a landline phone. Plus, a cellular connection is faster than a landline and safer. Unlike a traditional wired alarm system, the burglar cannot shut it down just by cutting a cable.
And good news for those people who have two left thumbs when it comes to home maintenance, user-friendly wireless design, and easy do-it-yourself installation. SimpliSafe has designed a home security system that is extremely user-friendly. It can be installed by anyone in less than 30 minutes without turning a screw.
Finally, a quality that more retailers should exhibit, pricing transparency. All of the costs are explained up front on the website. The customer is in control from start to finish, and you never get hit with an extra hidden fee. Order directly on the SimpliSafe website, and they ship the system to your doorstep.
All right, so go to simplisafe.com/ricochet. It's unbeatable protection, a great value, and again, no contract. SimpliSafe, that's simply with an I at the end, simplisafe.com/ricochet. Okay, on to the crazy martini now. And Jim, Skittles. We thought Skittles hit its news peak with Marshawn Lynch a couple years ago in Seattle. No. Donald Trump Jr. has brought it back with a tweet. This is from Politico. One of Donald Trump's sons compared the complexity of the Syrian refugee crisis to a bowl of Skittles on Monday evening. Donald Trump Jr. tweeted an image Monday which had a Trump-Pence logo that said, quote, "If I had a bowl of Skittles and I told you just three would kill you, would you take a handful? That's our Syrian refugee problem. Let's end the politically correct agenda that doesn't put America first," is what Trump wrote after that caption. So, Jim, this is interesting in a couple of different ways. First of all, it's an interesting way to analogize the situation with Syria. But at the same time, it makes a fairly good point. And of course, the left is now reacting by saying that little kid that was in that viral photo who's sitting on the chair after being a victim of a bombing with ash and blood all over his face, saying Donald Trump Jr. says this is a poisonous Skittle. So, Jim, nonsense going on once again. No big surprise. What do you make of all this?
A couple thoughts here, Greg. First of all, I believe in a tense, conflicted time, wherever we stand on this issue, Greg, we should remember our values and remember, folks, don't eat refugees. They're not good for you. It's not healthy. Yeah, it's fascinating how certain things just kind of blow up huge here. At the core of it is, can you filter out the Skittles that will kill you? Right? Can you filter out the people? Because based on that, I mean, if you really want to extend this philosophy entirely, you end up with something akin to Trump's approach of banning all Muslims from entering the country. Like, you wouldn't want them coming in as refugees. You wouldn't want them coming in as illegal immigrants, obviously. You would not want them coming in as legal immigrants. You wouldn't want them coming in on temporary work visas, tourism visas. You'd basically not want to let anybody into the country who could be a terrorist. And I'm sure there's some people saying, yes. The problem is that would basically mean you can't let anybody into the country unless they've, been the king of Jordan, maybe. We'll let him in. We trust him. We need a better system that to sort out this stuff. And I think that Trump and his like-minded supporters make a very compelling argument that the folks coming over from Syria, it's not like they have a giant paper trail. It's not like they have the ISIS membership list we can necessarily check it against. It's not like they're fleeing a war zone, right? They don't have a ton of papers. They can't prove residency. You can't go back to Aleppo or Raqqa or something like that and check their contacts to see if they're good guys or bad guys. And it's a really legitimate concern that the Trump folks have called into. I don't know whether some people see, comparing it to Skittles as making light of it or belittling it. Greg, I'm just not a big fan of Skittles.
No.
I'm an M&M guy down, and Reese's perhaps. But it's been fascinating. It's just people have just blown up about this. And I'm sure there are some people who are saying, you're allowing in the orange Skittles, but not the yellow ones or something like that. And the metaphor breaks down. But ultimately, if you knew the orange Skittles were dangerous, could you try to avoid those? Right? I mean, at some point, this isn't a perfect metaphor. And I, my joke earlier of don't eat refugees, I tweeted that out. And of course, Greg, you know, there are quite a few folks on Twitter immediately respond, that's not funny, because apparently now I'm promoting cannibalism of refugees or something like that. So
you're opposed to it. You just said you're opposed to it.
2016 is the year that killed our senses of humor.
Somebody interestingly pointed out, you mentioned the M&Ms, that was just a couple of years ago when men were the problem all over college campuses and so forth, that there was a very similar analogy with M&Ms and said one out of these 10 is an abusive man. Do you just keep eating?
Shoot all of them as precaution.
Yeah, exactly. There's something to that effect.
Shoot us both, Spock.
So the analogy was perfect 2 years ago, but now, of course, it's horrible.
The other observation there, it's really, really wrong to stereotype, you basket of incorrigibles. Am I misremembering that?
Deplorables, yeah.
Deplorables, basket of deplorables. Remember that basket of deplorables, all of you people? You people need to stop stereotyping. All you types, you know.
If there weren't double standards, there'd be no standards at all sometimes. Jim, have a great day.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for listening today. And thanks also to Simply Safe Home Security. Protect your home the smart way. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. Go right now and you'll also get free shipping on your order and that free keychain remote worth $25. It only takes a minute to get started. simplysafe.com/ricochet. SIMPLISAFE.com/ricochet. Join us again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.